Anyway, so just for a little teaser, this is something that Troy Clemens put on the board there, and I want to start out with this. Turn to John 3:16. You know how people say that this is the gospel verse, and I'm going to prove them wrong. Yeah, and I'm going to have a little. It's their gospel. Yeah, it is their gospel, but it's not our gospel. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, go back to Barry Hampton days. Quiz. What did the Jews need to do to be saved?
Believe in Him.
Believe? Okay. There's six of them. Sell out.
Works.
Be baptized. Confession. Endure. Repent. Okay. That's what was involved with believing in Him. Now turn to Acts 16. I have a couple more, but we'll stop there. Acts 16. Verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a to them that are lost. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4. I was going to look that one up and I forgot. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay. Let's go to what churches are doing today. What do churches require today for salvation?
Works. Going to church. Walking in.
Membership.
Baptism.
Baptism. I can't near write as nice as Troy Clemens can. Anyway, now, what does that look like? Does it look like our gospel is hid? You see, you can't read it. It's distorted to get everything else mixed in with, and our gospel is hid. They're getting back over here, trying to bring it into here. You can't read what I wrote underneath there anymore. It hides it. That's a Troy Clemens illustration. It's great. Okay, tonight, salvation by grace. Turn to John 8, verse 32. Where's everybody at tonight? Oh, okay. We have a test tonight on the computer, Steve and I do, that if it works or doesn't work tonight, we know Norm has it rigged. Because it works for Norm, and it doesn't work for Steve and I. Okay. John 8, verse 32. Oh, I was going to say, that didn't look right. I'm in John 9. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What, did I read that wrong? The truth shall make you free. No, I didn't. I was looking up at my notes, and I was trying to repeat it. it by memory. The truth, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, to rightly divide the word of truth. Tonight we're going to look at the two requirements in a salvation are. And the first one is grace. Our gospel is so simple. 5 words, Christ died for our sins. Let's look at a very interesting point. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. You know what I'm wondering? Yes. 1 Corinthians 14:18. That ain't right. Let me try 2 Corinthians. It's only 13 in. Well, that's really sad. Okay, here. I think I found it. Okay. Yeah, it's verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. Did Paul speak in tongues? Yes, he did. Not a big deal. Don't get hung up on it. Yet in the world I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. 5 words. Christ died for our sins. You think that's coincidental? I don't know. Might be. Okay, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9 is the verses we're going to talk about tonight. Remember when Norm was here the other night, he talked about the we's and the ye's. We still got that all in our mind. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 2 main words that we're going to look at tonight is grace and faith. Grace through faith, not of works. Let's check out grace. Turn to Romans chapter 3. We're going to go down through and just prove out of the Word of God about grace. Romans 3, verse 24. Let's start verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Again, by the grace. Galatians 2. One thing I was going to do is write the word, the definitions of faith and grace on the board, and I didn't even look them up. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. How can we frustrate God's grace? By trying to find salvation in the flesh through the law. It is again by grace. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins plural, according to the riches of his grace. How are we have forgiveness of sin? According to the riches of his grace. 2 Thessalonians. Is anybody getting the idea it could be grace by now? Yeah. You know, one thing, I was talking to Jan Wilburn for a while down there, and we got talking about how when we completely can get that flesh out of the way in everything, you know, he says not to worry about, you know, he provides for us. What's that verse that Jerry Lockhart said everybody misquotes? Or don't finish. Romans 8:20. I don't read that. It kind of goes along with the flesh idea. Whenever you quote this verse to somebody, make sure you finish it, because Jerry gets irritated if you don't. And we know that all things work together for good unto them that love God. A lot of people stop there, but keep reading. To them who are the called according to his purpose. So if we can get that flesh out of the way, it just makes a big difference, and I'm working on that. Because my flesh is who I am. Romans 8:28. When I start worrying about my next bills being paid, you know, your focus kind of gets distorted a little bit. But if I can go through to those verses where all things work together for good, you know, it's just a kind of a calming effect. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. How? 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. And hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1. One page over.
That was not highlighted in my Bible.
And look at 17. Comfort your hearts and establish you. When you establish yourself, you kind of ground yourself. That's a great verse. Given us everlasting consolation. That means if it's everlasting, it means everlasting. It doesn't mean it's going to quit. It's everlasting. Yeah. And also, when it boils down to it, the verse 16, the very end, the word grace, it's where it's all found. Yeah. Through grace. That's great verses. 1 Timothy 1. 14 and 15. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. For some reason I'm missing the word there. No, I know it was in there. And the grace of our Lord. And if Paul could be saved as a chief, did that make Paul worse than us? No, it didn't. We're all bad eggs, including myself. 2 Timothy chapter 1. but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Titus chapter 3. You know, when you get the consolation from 2 Thessalonians and bring it over, there's no fear involved. It's not a God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, does anybody still have a problem understanding that it is God's grace that saves you? Got that? You know, it's so simple. It's just like a, you know, when you get up there and you read the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to say what it says, it's very clear. It's just no question. But you get these people who think they got to have revelations and things to add to it. That's pretty sad. And they don't want to disobey those revelations. That's pretty sad. I read verses that say it's not of our works. You know, that's very, very clear. Now, requirement number two, faith. God gives the grace. Christ provided the faith. Romans chapter 3. I'm telling you, you're going to be in trouble tonight if you got an NIV. I know nobody here got one, but that doesn't say the people on the internet don't. If you got an NIV, you're going to run into trouble tonight. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, your NIVs are going to say in, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Very, very, very clear. There is a change. And I have people tell me all the time, absolutely not, it's the same gospel. I don't know, they must be reading NIVs or something. Galatians chapter 2. You know, teaching is so fun when you just let the Word of God say what it says. I don't have to try and prove anything. I don't have to try and explain anything. It's all right in the book. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, and your NIVs are going to say in, but mine says of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 11. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. By the faith of me? No. By the faith of him. Philippians chapter 3. You know, if my salvation would depend on my faith, it might last a second or two. Because seriously, the devil, he'll get in there and he'll bombard your brain a little bit. If you have all the programs that I have programmed in my brain from yesteryear, tell you what, it don't last barely a second. And if I would be judged according to what I do, rather than Christ saving me and it'd be my works that would save me, I wouldn't have lived past the age of two. Mm-hmm. It's just how rotten we are. What did I say? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, that's chapter 4. This Bible tricks me because of the numbers up top. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, it's just amazing when you we heard, 11 messages down there, and it's just so clearly brought out, and you sit there and you wonder, how in the world can people not see this stuff? But they are so blinded. Jerry Jones told me today, he said to his nephew-in-law, they're having revival meetings, and the preacher made this comment. If you don't come, then that means you're telling God that you don't have time for him. In other words, it must be a righteous thing to go to church. It's amazing what them guys do to put guilt on you so they give him money. Thought about it today, the whole church system runs on money. You think about it, a bad economy, that's the most substantial business you could be in. I mean, think about it. They're still going to put the guilt trip on people to tithe and to give them money. And the poor, broke people is going to give them money so they can find favor with God. What a miserable existence. I mean, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. But they do it all the time. I was reading these verses on the way home yesterday, Colossians 2, verse 11. I'm going to start in 10. I was reading these verses on the way home, and it blew my mind what is all in these couple verses. You know, the law.
You were reading on the way home?
While I was driving. No. I can't text and drive, but I sure read and drive. No, she was driving.
I'm glad you clarified.
Okay. And I had my Starbucks on, so I was with it, man. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete in him. Is that a present tense thing? Are we waiting to be complete, or are we a promise we're going to be complete? No, we are complete. And if you're complete, does that mean you still have about a 0.99% that you don't have? No, the word complete means complete. When I complete a job, I'm done. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know, I just about thought about doing this, telling everybody my fly is not down. So, Troy, no, it's not.
What?
Troy Clemens.
He
yeah. That's the old age-old thing. He wanted me to look down. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took us out of the law, nailing it to his cross. You know what? I was nice to Troy yesterday when he preached. He better be nice to me. The whole circumcision thing is what I was trying to wrap my mind around. Peter was given the gospel circumcision. Everything that did with the flesh. Okay? Paul was given the gospel of the uncircumcision, everything that had to do with the Spirit. Christ became that flesh. I had this all in my brain. Circumcised us spiritually so that we can be complete in our uncircumcised fleshly state here on earth. Can you wrap your brain around that? Christ became the circumcision that He became our flesh, which was the problem. Spiritually, we are circumcised through His flesh, Him becoming flesh, dying. We are now spiritually circumcised in our uncircumcised fleshly bodies. Salvation is by the Spirit, not by the flesh. That was just like, man, I read those and I was like, whew, that's a lot of stuff in there. Mm-hmm. When we trust in the grace of God and the faith of Christ, we are made free from the wages of sin. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, does that say the gift of God is eternal life through us if we tithe, if we baptize, if we repent, if we confess? Strictly all by Jesus Christ. Very, very, very beautiful. We are baptized into the body by the Spirit. Okay, we have God providing. So we got God, we got the Son, and we got the Holy Spirit, all three working in this grace, faith, and being sealed. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body For by one Spirit are we all water baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit. One little word wrong. Oh, a lot of people want to put the word water baptized in there, but what does that do? That puts us right back here again. And not over here. In the trust part. We're sealed. Colossians 2. You know what I tell people about this whole thing? I have pretty blatant comments made to me. My own dear mother told me this. You will never get me to believe in eternal security. That's heart-wrenching. That's gut-wrenching. She just told me what she trusts in. And when you stop and think, when the Holy Spirit has sealed you, takes a knife or a scissors to cut that, and the vacuum is lost. When something is sealed, it's in there. And there is nothing anywhere possible that can cut that. I mean, it's just a done deal. It's Chafin's favorite words. I can't go to hell if I tried. Or if I'd want to. Because we are sealed. That is our guarantee. Colossians 2, 12. Back to those verses. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your heart, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Hath He quickened together with Him. And if you're forgiven everything, what could keep you out? If you trust in the finished work of the cross. I like what Ephesians chapter 1. This kind of jumped out at me at the conference. A different word that also helps us to see the sealed state. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believe, ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of the promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession on the praise of his glory. Now that's not the word I wanted, but I will get to that yet. When we're sealed, we're sealed. But notice the key verse, word in here, in whom you also trusted. You know, back here in John 3:16, they believed in whom Jesus was. That's what they had to believe in, who he was, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the gospel of Christ. That's what they had to believe. Over here, the gospel of God. Yes, thank you. The gospel of God. Over here, it's the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, you got that? It was very... Who did that talk about the gospel of... That was Troy, the gospel of God. Okay, turn to... I had another verse I wanted, and I can't find it. Has the word delivered in it? See if I can find it. I thought I had written it down. Mm-hmm. I'll try my blue letter, see if I can find it real quick. You know... When UPS comes and drops a package off, he marks his little, whatever he has in his hand, that it's delivered. Was it brought here? Let's see if I can quickly find it here. Oh, delivered is used a lot in the word in the Bible. I probably read it and didn't even think about that. I read it. But it was a word that jumped out to me at the conference. How that also helps us to see that we are... I can't find it. I'm not sure what verse it was. No. Anyway. Now, we got this very, very clear. It is God's grace. It is Christ's faith. It is not our works. And it is the Holy Spirit's seal. It's really simple. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Colossians 1:13. That's what I just... Oh, Ephesians. Oh, maybe check that. I thought it was really interesting how that... Yeah. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Okay, so if you are delivered, are you delivered? Or if you go track, I saw over there somebody was tracking a package because the page was up. Somebody was on that page for some reason. You put your package number in and it will tell you if you're delivered. If that package has been delivered. When UPS or the US Mail or FedEx brings a package, it is delivered. It's here. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness?
Colossians 1:13.
See, it's so, so important. People don't understand how important it is to understand your English language when you read your Bible. And then they just think that all these versions are the same thing. But when you change something, it's different. When you take one little word and you put an I in front of an N or an O in front of an N, that's a complete different word. You take the word in and of. That's complete. It's just two little words, but it's a complete, whole different meaning. 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel for today. I had a guy text me saying he's going to Brazil. He wants us to pray for him. I said, go have fun. Oh, it's a mission trip. I said, make sure you preach them the gospel of the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, into Texas and Wendangunna, Father. He's a Baptist. Probably has no idea. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, present tense, are saved. Very, very, can I use the word possessive? Or, is that the word? If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Steve Atwood preached an amazing message down there on vain babblings, vanity. When you get your DVDs, that's one of the two that's, yeah, I must listen to. They were all good, but Steve Atwood really preached a great message on that. For I delivered unto you, first of all, oh, Steve, I know you're watching, don't get a big head. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Troy Clemens did an amazing way of going back, and according to these Scriptures, you can pretty much find everything in the Old Testament what was going to happen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's all in there. According to the Scriptures, when Paul went down there and they got out the Scriptures, that's what they were talking about. That's what the Scriptures that they debated about. Romans chapter 4. Verse 24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered, here it is again, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So, anybody still have a question whether we're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourselves? It's like E.C. Moore says, if I would have to wiggle my little finger to get into heaven, I could brag about it. And Ephesians 2:8-9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you think about all the programs, and like one of them made the comment how this lady was saying, yeah, I cooked 30 turkeys for Thanksgiving. Not a one of those turkeys died for her sin. You know? And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying not to do good stuff. Do it, but don't depend on it. It's not going to get you saved. What's going to get you saved is simply trusting in that Christ did die for you. And you can't add to it. And when people bark and holler and say you're crazy and you're a nut or whatever, just remember those kind of people don't add anything to you, because it is not about our flesh. It is about the faith of Christ. Like E.C. Moore says, I might be a nut, but I'm on the right bolt. That's all I've got.